Hi, this is Scott Koblish, and you're listening to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.
Hola, Cap fans, and welcome to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Ricardo Verbanas, and I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. That is Mr. One Roberto Lucius. Oh, Bob. And who in the world is this woman? I've never seen her before, but I've got a feeling that she's got a husband, someone who just kicked down the door. Jose, he's tall, dark, and handsome, she said as she reached for her clothes. But he's mean as a snake when his woman you take right from under his nose. I said, this is a great time to tell me. She said, I thought he was in jail. Well, I'm Jose's wife. Jose's got a knife. And Jose is hot on your trail.
I have no idea what that is.
I'm going to tell you. Here's the next line of the song.
All right.
Better run for the border. Jose, he's a dangerous man. Better find a place to hide on the other side of the Rio Grande.
Nice. Okay.
The name of the song is Run for the Border by Johnny Rodriguez.
Okay. All right. What year was that song? Johnny Rodriguez. That name sounds familiar.
Well, he was a country star. Okay. He was more popular in the 70s.
Okay.
Maybe one hit in the 80s. And then he kind of had a little bit of a comeback in the 90s with this album called Run for the Border, which came out in 1993.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah, you stumped me. You stumped the chump.
Yeah. But why am I bringing up this song, Bob?
Well, could it be that we have a very special comic that we're reviewing tonight?
Really? Which one is it, Bob? Did you actually do your research?
No, I thought you were going to tell me.
Oh, okay. I'm going to let you do it, Bob. Come on, you really know, don't you?
I do, Rick.
Okay.
And basically, I want you to think, close your eyes.
I'm closing my eyes.
Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm. This is really great podcast material, Bob. Quiero Taco Bell. Nice.
Yo quiero Taco Bell, Rico.
Oh, yes, that's right. We are covering today a very special comic. It is the Captain America number one by Taco Bell. And listen, for everybody out there, you have no idea how special a treat this is, because if it is a rare comic to get a hold of, this was a giveaway in the Taco Bell, like kids meals, right? And you could only get it that way. And it is not published right now. Like you can't go in like Marvel Unlimited and read it there. It is a rare comic. In fact, Bob, I hate to say this, but it's up there in one of the more expensive Captain America comic books.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, I mean, go ahead.
It's an exclusive collector's edition.
Yeah, it's funny, Bob. Like, if you go
right on the cover, man,
that's true. you know what else it says on the cover, Bob? Ready for this? Not for resale.
Yeah.
Yeah. But instead, what do we get? I go on eBay. I'm like, oh, you know what? We're going to cover this comic. I need to buy one. I don't have a copy. And so I go on eBay. They're like $20, $25, $30. What the hey?
Yeah, it doesn't even come with sauce. Sauce packets.
Oh, hala. And that's for the 2% of South Americans who listen to this podcast. I was like dumbfounded by the amount of money I had to pay to get this comic to go ahead and have it reviewed for today. But Bob, why are we covering this comic?
Well, because it's awesome.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, also because, can I say this?
You can say this.
It's permissible who our next, what our next episode is going to be.
You know, Bob, I really love the fact that you pay attention so much because we actually told this last episode.
We did?
We gave it away last episode.
We did. All right. So I can say that Scott Koblish is the penciler for this. And
yes,
we're going to be talking to him. And although he's worked on a lot of Cap stuff over the years.
I wouldn't say a lot, but he worked on some. Yeah,
he's worked on more than I have.
So, that's true.
So it's, you know, it's all relative. But in fact, he penciled this. And I know he's been dying to talk about it.
It is. It's actually funny. I was messaging back and forth with him. And he is. Scott Koblish is going to be our guest on next episode. So we figured, why not cover a book that he did the art for? And when I mentioned it to him, I was like, yeah, I had him, you know, asked him, invited him to be on the show, because he's also part of our Facebook group. He's been on there as well. He says, and I'm glad to do the interview. It's high time that someone talked with me about the Captain America Taco Bell promotional comic.
it's been like 14 years since this came out. I can't believe, you know, nobody else has gotten the scoop.
I know, right?
Right.
So. But he, you know what? I tell you, I am looking forward to talking with him. He sounds like he's got a heck of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I messaged him earlier today because I wasn't really sure. Is it Koblish? Was it Koblish? And it's Koblish, because I asked him, you know, how do you pronounce it? And he says, oh, it's Koblish. And he said, and please, no confusion with Scott Collins. It happens at least once per convention that someone tells me how much the Flash run means to them. So, and I replied to him, I said, while I liked your work on Flash, it didn't change my life or anything. And he gave me a little laugh emoji there. So he sounds like he's got a really fun sense of humor. And we are looking forward to talking to him next episode. But for today's episode, we're going to cover the Taco Bell special, Captain America.
I love this, Rick. I mean, I think it's, I mean, I don't know about listeners, but I love getting like tuned in, turned on, told about some of these quirky one shots or, you know, limited run series that like not many people know about. You know, maybe they follow the main runs, you know, the main volumes. But every now and again, there's like these, like the Campbell Soup Kids or the Asthma Monster or,
right,
the Don't Do Drugs issues, you know, or the Taco Bell exclusive collector edition. I think a lot of folks don't know about those. And so when we have a chance to kind of dive deep on those, you know, it might be something that really makes someone's day.
Yeah, 100%. So listen, you are getting an exclusive here, right? I don't think anywhere else on the internet you are going to get a review panel by panel of the Captain America Taco Bell special. And we're going to cover all glorious 11 pages here today. So it's going to be a quick podcast.
Yeah.
Bob, I hope you brought some extra. I hope you brought your A game and there's more to talk about here.
Oh, I did. I did. Yeah. I should have brought some salsa.
Well, speaking of which, I got to tell you. So my wife and I were trying to lose a little weight, and we're a salty snack kind of family, you know, or at least I am. And I think I've converted my wife. but you know, we go for the salty, savory stuff as opposed to sweets. And so I make what many people will say a pretty good salsa. Okay. So I make my own salsa, and it's a hit at parties. Let's just say. Okay.
Yeah.
And we like spicy stuff. We're, you know, we totally like spicy stuff. And some people would taste my salsa and be like, wow, that's really spicy. And I'm like, it's okay. But so I would do chips and salsa in my house 5 days a week, at least.
Yeah.
I will have some chips and salsa.
Yeah.
And I never felt really bad about it because, you know, maybe it was like 250 calories per snack. You know, it wasn't evil.
It's corn.
It's gluten-free.
Right. How bad can it be?
Exactly. Well, And then on top of that, we would have other chips in the house, right? We'd have, you know, different flavored chips in the house. We'd have like barbecue, salt and vinegar, some sort of kettle cooked, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, wasn't that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, we decided, you know what, let's just take the chips out of the house. It's just not buy. Mm-hmm. When we run out of chips, we're not buying new chips. And so we've been 2 weeks of chipless. Mm-hmm. And so you would think, okay, have you moved on to something healthier, like carrot sticks, celery sticks?
Yeah, something, because you seem remarkably well-tempered for not having had chips for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's amazing what vodka will do. But anyway, no, I've been resorting to like gluten-free pretzels and you've seen me. I've had like my almonds or my what do we do? We got those what are those nuts that come in the shells and
pistachios.
We started because we hear they're healthy nuts, right? And then so we got the pistachios, but we made sure they were in the shells. It made it harder for us to just like
slow you down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that. So Mother's Day is coming up. Yeah. Well, not for the listeners. That was a couple of weeks ago, but for us, you know, during this recording. And so Megan, my wife's mom and her stepdad came by to give her an early Mother's Day present. And they brought this bag of chips. Right.
Yeah.
Sea salt restaurant style tortilla chips, and then like a jar of salsa, and then a bag of avocados, and then there was a package for her to open up. And they were like, "This is all part of your Mother's Day present." So she opens up the package, and there's these nice three ceramic dishes, little bowls in there, you know, that we could put chips and salsa and guac and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, they also apologized.
Oh.
They apologized and they said, We brought this jarred salsa. It is nothing as good as your salsa, but it's part of the shtick. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, that's fine.
Okay.
It really wasn't that good. So anyway, we now have this bag of chips. So I am sitting here now having a bag of chips. Now I'm going to
cut the whole bag, might I add, the whole bag.
No, not a bowl. Dude, come
on. He's got the bag.
Yeah, I didn't put it in a bowl. I'm not trying to impress you.
Okay, I wanted to applaud your portion control.
So today, if you are listening to this podcast when it comes out, it's still the month of May. It's May 31st. Mm-hmm. I hope you had a great Memorial Day, Bob.
And Cinco de Mayo.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So for Cinco de Mayo, did you do anything for Cinco de Mayo?
I did not. I stayed up till 9:30.
You stayed up until 9:30. Like that was later than normal for you.
Oh,
the way you phrased it, I stayed up until 9:30.
Stayed up past nine. Yeah, big night.
Oh, really?
We were a little concerned. The swingers were going to have a big party on Friday night, Cinco de Mayo.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're like, do we stay up and just tough it through? Or should we just get to bed early so that we get a little shut eye in before they start swinging? But they didn't. Nothing happened. So it was, you know.
Or at least it was much later after you were already like unconscious and you couldn't hear anything.
That could have been. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you ever watch? That's right. You've never seen the TV show Arrested Development.
Just an episode here or there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. God, I love that show. Oh, it's an amazing show. But I think in season four, when they came back and they did it, they were the parents in the show, Lucille. And I can't remember the dad's name, but they were not fans of Cinco de Mayo.
Uh-huh.
And it really annoyed them. And so, it was so funny the way they did it. They did it like the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, right? Where they're up at their window looking down on everybody doing the Cinco de Mayo. And they stood there at the window like, you know, tapping their fingers together then they did a little like a poem, you know, they didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. And so they came up with this idea of they were going to one up Cinco de Mayo by doing another holiday to make Cinco de Mayo go away. And so they decided to do this holiday the day before, and they called it Cuatro de Cinco.
I like that.
Yeah. I know. So anyway, I always think of that every time.
Yeah.
And please, listeners, if you are listening to this and you're on the Facebook page, give me a shout out. Someone tell me I loved Arrested Development too. I want to know who my Arrested Development brethren are in the group, because oh my God, it is the funniest show. I highly recommend. So anyway,
that sound
good. So we had decided, Megan and I, my wife, we decided to celebrate Seis de Mayo.
Okay.
Because we wanted to avoid the crowds.
Yeah.
Right. Cinco de Mayo is going to be packed. All the Mexican restaurants are going to be packed. So we decided to do Seis de Mayo. Uh-huh. And so we took my daughter out and we went out for that and sat out in a patio, and we had a nice little,
nice
Mexican dinner.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I never thought in my entire life that I would own a house that had a bar in it.
Yeah.
But just so happens, the house we bought 5 years ago has a bar in the basement, and it has a kegerator.
Wow.
I had to learn how to, how to do a keg. So I had to learn I got a quarter keg and put it in this, has this little refrigerator. I had to learn how to clean out the lines, and the tap and, whatever. I learned it. But it's cool. So when friends come over or whatever, the house, I'm like, yeah, you want a beer? And what do I have on tap? Corona.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I like Mexican beer.
Yeah.
And so I have Corona on tap. And wouldn't you know it, the keg kicked on Cuatro de Mayo.
Oh, no.
It did.
Wow.
It just kicked.
That's like when your propane tank runs out on 4th of July.
No, on July 3rd. Yeah.
Oh, in July 3rd. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, the difference is you can get a new propane tank pretty quickly. You can't get a new quick kick. It takes like 10 days to get another
keg.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I've never, bought a keg.
Yeah. Well, again, it's one of those things, like, I never thought I'd have a house with a keg in it, but when there's an opportunity, you're like,
you take it.
You're like, hell yeah, I'm going to have a keg in it. But, when the keg's not in operating order, I probably am losing some weight.
Well, I have a surefire solution for your chip problem, Rick. Because I'm a chip fiend. I'm a chip fanatic. Fan of the highest order. And I like a nice, like, Guinness stout or, a stout of some sort on a Saturday night when everyone else has gone to bed.
Uh-huh. And it's was it 8 o'clock, Bob, before your bedtime?
Yeah, 8:30, and uh-huh. a big bowl of chips. And I like to eat the chips with my stout. And then when I get to the bottom of the bowl of chips and I see, I still have more stout, I go out and I fill the bowl again. Mm. Because I'm all about portion control. All right. So that's like, my salve. It's the salve to my emotional wounds,
Mm-hmm.
But
don't eat your feelings, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I do. I eat them in the form of chips. And, but I realized that, the one thing that will cure me of that is having a 13-year-old son, because he finds every freaking potato chip bag that I hide in this house, no matter how much effort I put into hiding it. I even put chips in other bags, other boxes. And I know what he likes, and I even buy chips intentionally. Like, I got a bag of Bill Pickle flavored kettle chips this weekend. Ooh. Thinking that would be like, all right, he won't eat those. Ate them all.
Because
he's like,
bitch.
He like bebops downstairs at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And of course, I'm already in bed. And I hear him out there rustling around in the pantry, emptying out the chips into a chip bowl. And like, he finishes all my chips. So it's been, a blue moon since I've had my bowl of chips and a stout. They're just in the fridge, gathering.
Damn
dust.
Those teenage boys. They
I
eat
know,
you
right?
Out of house and home.
They will. They will eat every damn chip that you own. Mm. So,
What you should do? You should get the bag of chips, put them in a bowl, lick each one, and then put them back in the bag, with a little note that says, I have licked each and every one of these chips.
It's probably still eating that little rat bastard.
Do you have a favorite chip?
I kind of like, I like the Boulder, Colorado chips.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, they cook them in avocado oil. And I bought
that make them crunchier or something or healthier.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It's marketing, right?
So why the hell are you buying them? Why are you like, I got to get the avocado oil?
Well, because I don't know. I just like the way they taste, and they normally don't sell them at the grocery store that I go to. But I noticed last week they did. They had the regular kettle cook ones, and then they had like a thin and crispy one. Mm-hmm. And so I bought a bag of each, and I put the thin and crispy ones out. Mm-hmm. In an obvious location, and then I hid the other ones.
You should get, were they the cheap ones? Did you put the cheaper ones?
No, out? They were the same price.
Oh, really? Because I totally, that's the cheap guy in me. I would have been like, here are the cheap chips, and I'll put them out there as a distraction.
Out or the, yeah, no, he, and he mowed through those. And then I was laying in bed, you know, one night reading my book, and I hear him out in the pantry. Try. And then I hear, found them. So, yeah.
You know, it's okay, Bob. You know, there are some things in this life that corporal punishment is okay.
It's okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Anyway.
You know, so my son,
as many chips as I'd like recently.
My son is coming back from college. You know, he graduates. By the time this episode come out, he's already graduated and he's already moved back home.
Okay.
He is a chip guy too. So now we're gonna. So we had our window of not having chips in the house.
Yeah.
And then now we got to start keeping chips. Because Megan's like, well, we need to keep chips for Hayden.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, that's not how it works. We're going to be Bobby. we're going to be like, here are the chips.
Yep. Yeah. Well, big congratulations to Hayden. That's a big accomplishment.
So yeah. I'm very excited.
Big life transition.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I text him the other day because it was his last day of classes. And I was like, congratulations on your last day of classes, .. ever, !!
Uh-huh.
I know you would have put the space in, Bob. You just would have put an ellipsis there and just, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's completely surreal. I mean, do you remember when you knew you were graduating? Like, you're just days away or weeks away from graduating. Remember that feeling? It's just kind of like, wow, this is almost over.
I do.
It's like a whole nother life.
It is. Where I went, I graduated, but the day before I graduated, I took my oath of office as a commissioned officer. You know, did that whole formal thing, gave the silver dollar to the person who saluted me first, who was my best friend in college. And then, so, I mean, I was like ready, roaring and ready to go. You know, I had 2 weeks off before I reported for duty.
What'd you do during those 2 weeks?
I goofed off at home. I packed up my stuff, drove home, and spent 2 weeks just dorking around.
Gotcha. Tell me about the silver dollar ritual. Yeah. What that's that about?
It's a tradition where basically the first person who renders a salute to a newly commissioned officer, you give them a silver dollar. So you probably, an officer and a gentleman, the movie with Richard Gere. Never watched it, huh?
No.
Only two kinds of people never watch Officer and a Gentleman, steers and queers. Which one are you, Rick?
I'm gonna go steer.
That was a good movie, and obviously period piece. But Louis Gossett Jr., who was the drill instructor, rendered that first salute to the young lieutenant Richard Gere, who graduated from OCS, and he gave him a silver dollar. It's a well known tradition. So my friend, who happened to be a sergeant in the Marine Corps Reserve, fellow cadet with me at the university, he popped off the first salute. Of course, it was, we knew this was what was going to happen. So every new officer goes through a line and the first person renders a salute, give him the silver dollar. So to this day, he still has that silver dollar. It's a Liberty silver dollar that I gave him.
Now, I was about to ask you that. I would hope that when someone gives you a silver dollar for that type of thing, it's held on to as a memento.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal, right? I mean, you only do it once in your career. So I guess it wasn't a Liberty, it was a Morgan. So yeah.
What?
What was it? The Liberty Head? No, it was a Liberty Head. Yeah. The Liberty Head silver dollar.
What's a Morgan?
I was thinking of the Morgan dime. But the Liberty Head silver dollar. So he's like, you know, it was an old one. It was in good condition, but it was a real silver dollar.
That's cool.
So, and he still has it all these years later.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a neat tradition.
You know what I have here, right here, Bob? This is a Captain America coin.
The Marvel coins, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
I had a customer of mine give that to me when I had my store back in the day. It's a Captain America coin. It is. I can't, even with my readers on, I can't make out what year this was.
I can't. Was that around 78 or?
No, it had to have been after that.
Well, I know they were. They had a whole series. They had Hulk and I think Spider-Man. There weren't that many of them. There were only a handful of them, but they're very hard to find.
Well, that is in my collection. I don't have very many coins, but that's one of them. And then when I got married last year, my best friend brought me this coin.
Very nice. It's a Troy silver dollar there. Troy ounce. Nice.
No.
From Bermuda?
No, what is that?
I can't. That's the Queen, right?
So
I don't know what country it's from. Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Is it? I can't quite read the country of mint.
It is. Let's say it says Queen Elizabeth, and then it says $1, 1 ounce. It's from 20. It's either, I think it's 2010. And then on the other side, it has Captain America.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
no, it's not worth anything anymore, Rick, because, you know, she's out of office.
So. Oh, is that, I should just probably toss it then.
Probably just chuck that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. I had, he gave me that as a wedding gift last year. But of course, he gave something to the couple. And then he was like, and then here's a little something extra for you.
A little something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of cool, right?
That is cool. Yeah. Good for you, man. Good for him. I like shiny.
Oh, so Bob, getting back to, you had asked me what year that song came out.
Uh-huh. Run for the Border, that album.
Run for the Border. What did I tell you?
You told me the 70s.
No, I didn't. I told you the artist was popular in the 70s. Oh, I told you, okay. What year did I tell you that song came out?
I have no idea. 2009? 1999?
No.
1996? Space
1999?
No.
No?
No.
1400 BC? No. It was 2013, Bob.
2013.
No, I didn't tell you that, Bob. I did not tell you that. I told you it came out in 1993.
Okay, yeah.
Now, a couple of interesting things here, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Ready? Because it couldn't have just been me picking a song that has Run for the Border that ties in with Taco Bell.
No.
Because in 1994,
mm-hmm.
Taco Bell kicked off their campaign Run for the Border. So that's okay. That's all interesting. Right. Did they base it off of this song?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. The song came out in 1993. Taco Bell's campaign came out in 1994. Huh. You know what else happened in 1993, Bob?
I don't, Rick.
Just take a guess, Bob. Tie it in. Just bring it all together, Bob.
If you
could pull it all together in one big circle, it'd be like, it all ties back together.
Well, I don't know.
What did Rick do here, Bob?
I don't know. 1994 is when Gidget the Chihuahua was born, but 1993, I don't know.
That was the first year that Scott Koblish was a published artist.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't guess that one.
I know. I can't believe either, but yet you continue to astound me.
I'm a disappointment. Ask anyone.
But come on, Bob. I brought that full circle.
You did. You did bring that full circle. You are the quintessential crazy guy with the wall.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it used to be the guy with thumbtacks and string on the wall that, was impressive. But now I'm the crazy guy.
Well, it's getting a little creepy at this point. I'm impressive. Impressive in a different way, but still impressive.
Impressive in a statue of limitations.
in a concerning sort of, intervention way.
All right. So should we get to the comic, Bob?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So as I mentioned before, I don't think I mentioned this. The Captain America Taco Bell special had a cover date of April 2009. So yes, the comic did come out 14 years ago. And the creators, this is actually really interesting to me. Okay. The creators, the writer is Joe Caramanga. Now, Bob, I have said that name many times during this podcast on various episodes. Where do we normally know Joe Caramanga's name?
He's usually a letterer.
Exactly. But somehow, Marvel, I don't know, they tossed him a bone or a chalupa and said, do you want to write? And so he wrote this issue. So, he has been a long time letterer, but he's the writer for this issue. And he's also the letterer. He's the writer and the letterer. Yeah. I don't know. I cannot recall any comic ever. Now, I'm sure that there might be something out there, but yeah. I personally cannot recall any time that a writer / letterer, other than somebody who did everything themselves, like an independently, whatever. Yeah. But I mean, as far as a Marvel comic is concerned, writer / letterer, Joe Caramanga.
Right.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, and then we have Scott Koblish, who is the penciler and inker on this. And then Chris Sotomayor is the colorist, and the editor is Nathan Cosby. Now, if I open up the comic box, and I get to the credits page, which is page 2. In addition to everything I just mentioned, it's something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
They actually say project managers.
Right. Yeah.
And they list John Michael Ennis and Gina Dahlberg as the project managers. I've never seen project managers listed on a comic before.
Right. Well, no, but this was produced through a licensing agreement. So perhaps that probably has a lot to do with it.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't answer the question though. Have you ever seen that before?
Well, I have not seen it.
No. Oh, okay.
No, not in a comic. No.
All right. Thanks for, just glossing over my question.
Yeah. Well,
usually follows with some other comment. I was leaving you out there to answer your own question.
Well, I know. I just want to respond to the obvious, but indeed, I would like to know. Maybe you know this, Rick, because you're a man about the world.
I am.
In 2009, they had four of these limited edition, exclusive collector editions, right, from Taco Bell. And I think, obviously the Cap one, they had an Avengers one, a Fantastic Four, and a Thor one. They did
Fantastic Quattro.
Yeah, nice. And then they did it again in 2011, where they had Iron Man, Avengers, X-Men, and Fantastic Four. So it's a neat arrangement. And, there's lots of other ones that they've had for different, Harley Davidson has had them before.
Yep.
And there's another Kiel. They do like men's products and stuff. Yep. They've had one. And so, you know, I'm curious, like,
Bob, are you just trying to show off your research?
No, no, I'm just like, what is the process, you know, for getting one of these things done? Like, how does this, obviously they have project managers, but like, what is the process for like pulling one of these things together? Yeah, I guess maybe Scott could answer that for us.
Sure. But, yeah. Yeah, we can ask him that next episode.
Because I'm thinking that should be the next giveaway, Rick.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Bob. It's funny you should say that. Even though I wouldn't do it in the spirit of what it says here on the cover, not for resale.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I went out on eBay and bought this. And by the way, thank you to the patrons out there, because this is part of where your love for the show and your donations go to. We can get things like this so we can cover this. Mm-hmm. And I'm paying it forward, right? I want to go ahead and give this away. So our next giveaway, Bob, is going to be the Captain America Taco Bell special. How can you get this? The next three people who go on to Apple and leave us a 5-star review and comment, okay? One of those three, I'm going to go ahead and mail this out to.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 1 in 3 chance, Bob.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Your odds are really, really good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
1 in 3 chance that you're going to get this Captain America Taco Bell special, which, by the way, or you could just go on eBay and pay $25 for it.
If that's your thing. Yeah. You know?
Plus tax and shipping.
Yeah. But this is an exclusive collector's edition with a unique cover.
Yeah, let's talk about the cover, Bob. Can you describe the cover, please, to our listeners?
You know, I sure can, Rick. It's Captain America, and he is full size, just barreling toward the reader with a very stern look on his face, his shield strapped to his back, his right fist right out in front of him as if he is barreling toward you. And in the whole background is sort of this starburst of red. Emanating from the center of the page behind Cap, so it's obscured, but it has a feeling of motion as he's coming toward you. So it's a great cover, a lot of fun by Ed McInnes.
And for those who aren't familiar, it's basically the variant cover to Captain America 25, Volume 5, that came out in 2006, I want to say.
Yeah, it was Volume 5. So yeah.
2006. Right? Which is the Captain America death issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting to me because this came out in 2009. So basically this cover was on Captain America 25 3 years earlier. So, and we'll get to that in a second. I want to paint the scene of what's been going on in 2009. But before I do that, so Bob, I have this. This is Captain America 25, which is the variant cover, right? Same exact cover. Now, do you know who the artist is for this cover, Bob?
Ed McGuinness,
but who's the inker?
I do not know.
Dexter Vines. And you know how you can tell? Because at the bottom, it says Edex, E-D-E-X.
Okay, I noticed
so
that.
That was a combination of their names, Ed and Dexter.
Nice. Okay.
And so, and I, you know, Dexter Vines, super nice guy. I had him in my store twice for a book signing. So he had been in the store. He and Ed McGuinness had been quite the combo penciler inker for many years. They did Superman Batman for a while, and they did some other things, but anyway, I actually have here, and I'm showing Bob, is I have the Captain America 25 variant edition that I had sent out to CGC, who had Ed McGuinness in their headquarters to do a book signing, and so you could get a remark made, and so with this particular cover, I thought, with the red background, right, it would make a lot of sense for him to do a remark of Red Skull's helmet. or face, you know, right? It was his head, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because, you know, Red Skull was the mastermind behind Cap's assassination, which happens in this issue. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is. That's a great, great piece of work right there. Nicely done.
It only came out as a 9.0. So I'm a little disappointed it didn't get graded a little bit higher, but I am thrilled with the remark that McGinnis made. It was really cool.
Yeah. An interesting thing is, you don't often see this a lot, at least I don't think I've seen it a lot, but you know, in the original variant of Cap America 25 and in the Taco Bell, obviously it's the same cover. In that signature edex, you see the date of when the cover was created, which was back in 2006.
Indeed. So if we cut back to when this comic comes out in 2009, what's going on with Captain America? Well, essentially, I got to tell you, Bob, he's still dead. Right? Ed Brubaker, Steve Epting, and other artists are continuing with Volume 5. But at this point, Bucky Barnes is Captain America. And they're continuing with that story. But you know what is just right around the corner, Bob? Just right around the corner is the 6-issue miniseries Captain America Reborn. And that came out in July of 2009. And that was the miniseries that basically brought Steve Rogers back into the Marvel Universe after being gone for 3 years.
Right.
And I got to tell you, and I think I speak for a lot of Captain America fans who are listening, that was a long 3 years to not have Steve Rogers.
True, true. Yeah.
It really was. Mm-hmm. I missed him. I really did. I missed having Steve Rogers in, you know, in his ongoing story, something that I could read on a monthly basis. But regardless, he was brought back. So this particular issue, Bob, is kind of cool because it was like, oh, yeah, Steve Rogers is around. Here's Steve Rogers as Captain America. And that's what we're going to cover.
Nice. Nice. Interesting thing, Rick. I'm sure you know this. You know, the main continuity of the Marvel Universe is 616. And this is like Universe 3588.
Is it really?
It is the Marvel Universe created exclusively for Taco Bell limited edition promotional comic.
Say that again. It's Universe 3. What?
It's Universe 3588.
So this is in our universe.
Right. Yes. This is not.
Where did you find that out?
In the Marvel fandom, of course. Rick, I do research.
I'm on Marvel fandom right now.
I cannot believe.
I didn't pay attention to that, but you're right. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It says Earth 3588. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for pointing that out, Bob.
Just a little interesting tidbit for our listeners.
All right. So we'll get to the first page. And it is Captain America in full uniform with his shield breaking up a poker game because you see the table falling over and there's coins and cards and drinks falling over and Cap's busting it up. And this whole page is him going through and taking out these businessmen, I guess, right? Because they're wearing suits and ties.
They're well-dressed men, yeah.
And you see him like busting up this ring. And there's a large guy. He's a hefty guy, right?
He is.
How would you describe his haircut?
Yeah, it's you know, he has a little bit of an Andrew Dice Clay thing going on for those of you that are old enough to remember the Andrew Dice Clay act from the
and Jill went up the hill.
That's the guy from the 90s, you know, dark hair, sort of pointy sideburns, you know,
little boy blue.
Okay, it's a kid's show. So you know, a little sort of receding on the sides, you know, the hairlines there, so it comes to a little bit of a kind of a fluffy point at the front, but definitely
widow's peak, if you will.
Yeah, widow's peak. Yeah, got one of those myself.
I don't.
It's a good point. Good point. Yeah.
But his goatee, his eyebrows, they're all kind of funky, right?
They are funky. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he yells out, "Captain America." But I love the, hey, Caramanga here, the writer, is also the letterer, and he goes and puts Captain America in the Captain America title font.
Yeah. Nice touch.
Yeah. But while he's doing all this, there's a conversation going on. And it's a conversation between him, Steve Rogers, Captain America, and Nick Fury. They're what? They're letting him go. But Rishi Kiran's a criminal. He runs rackets at Fun Hydra. Nick? Let me try that again.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay. But Rishi Kiran's a criminal. He runs rackets that Fun Hydra, Nick. I know that. But without documented evidence, it's only your word against his. So he's just going to walk? And then we cut to the next page, and we're at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. Interesting, Bob. I don't recall S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters being a tall skyscraper building in Manhattan, but do you recall that? I don't recall that.
I don't, but it is Universe 3588.
Oh, damn you and your, yeah, like, all see, watchfulness.
I know, right?
I'm sorry. It's not my call. There are rules, Steve. Kieran's a private citizen, not the Red Skull. And then we cut to like three quarters of the page splash of an interior shot of Nick Fury in the classic blue S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform with the white stripe, like, you know, holsters and gloves and everything. And then there's a huge monitor room. You have all these different agents that are sitting in front of their console. And then there's big screens and little screens. And it's a lot of detail in this, really a lot of detail in this really particular is, yeah, big splash. Do you think one of the agents here is playing Galaga?
that guy right there. Yeah.
That guy right there? Okay. Yeah. And what's the title to this particular issue, Bob?
The Last Laugh.
Look, just lay low for a few days. Take some time off to recharge the batteries. Once this blows over, we'll compare notes and get the hard evidence you need. But until then, Kieran's off limits. And then Cap's standing there in his full uniform, but he has his mask off. And he has his shield strapped to his back. And he doesn't look very happy. Lay low. That's your solution? I'm trying to keep the peace. If his lawyer makes a big deal about the way we do things, it'd really compromise our ability to shut Hydra down. Understood? Why don't you go home and blow off some steam, Steve? No. There's someplace I need to be. Where's that place, Bob?
Well, it appears to be the Metropolitan Correctional Center, New York, New York.
And so we cut to that, and we see Steve in his Captain America uniform with the mask and the shield on his back, standing there with his hands on his hips, and he's watching as aforementioned Kieran is being escorted to a limousine, which startles him at first, but then he has a look of kind of smirk on his face.
He does, yeah.
And then he corrects his suit and pulls on it and puts his chin up in the air and his nose up in the air as he's getting in. And the driver says to in the front of the limousine, says to Kieran, "It's good to have you back, boss. Now we're back in business. We won't be until that guy goes away. Suspend all of our operations. I don't care what it costs. Focus all of our resources to find out who he is behind that mask." And then the last panel on the page is a civilian adorned Steve Rogers, who is walking down the street. I'm assuming he's in Brooklyn Heights, Bob.
It looks like it. Yeah, he's got his hands on his hips, and he is just. Oh, I was thinking about that last panel of Kieran in the car, and you see out the back window of the car as these two are talking. These two bad guys are talking. You see Cap out the back window.
Try to keep up, Bob. I'm on the next panel.
I know you are, but you pass that over, and I think I love that. I love that scene.
So Steve's he's got a bag of groceries in his hand. Right. And there's a paper bag of groceries with the stereotypical loaf of bread that's sticking out.
It's a baguette. Right.
Right. To emphasize that he has a bag of groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking, and we turn the page, and then there are two men in shadow on the opposite side of the street that are following him. And then he walks up his stairs to get to his front door, and they follow him. And then Steve goes into there, and Cap's shield is hanging on the wall. Cap's uniform is also hanging up. And it's a loft, right? And he goes and he sits down. There's exposed brick on one of the walls. Looks like he's got a fern.
It does. He does have a fern.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen whether it's a real fern or artificial.
Yeah. And then there's a ceiling fan that is hanging from the ceiling, Bob.
Yeah.
That's
where you put them.
Is that where the ceiling fans go?
That's where they go.
Oh, it is something that will show up later. And then he grabs a newspaper. It's the Daily Bugle, Bob.
Yeah, it is.
And he reads it, and he quotes the headline, Hydra activity on the rise. And he's got a beverage in his left hand. What do you think that beverage is?
Fresca.
A Fresca? It is a can. It's an aluminum can of some sort. Yeah.
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 Hey, fresh, maybe a Moxie.
Yeah. Okay. And then we see several panels where all of a sudden there's gas coming into his room, and it's green colored gas, Bob.
That can't be good.
Almost the same color as a Hydra uniform.
Interesting.
Do you think they added some dye to it just to make it match their uniforms?
I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he holds his nose, raises an eyebrow, and then he falls unconscious and he falls over. Thunk. And we cut to the next page, and it's some sort of video. It's something streaming, Bob. And it appears to be a heavy man in a Hydra uniform.
Yeah.
But he has that same distinct goatee that I was hoping you were going to describe earlier, but you decided not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we know who it is then.
Yeah.
All right, listener, just so you know, it's the guy that Cap was going after before. It's a very distinct goatee.
And bowling ball shaped head.
Yeah. And then he comes on camera and he says, "People of the United States and the world, we are broadcasting live for this historic moment. A day you will remember as Hydra's first and many victories in the battle for world domination. Think you've heard it before? Today we will expose the soft underbelly of your so-called liberty. Today, we will publicly unmask Captain America." Now, as he's saying that, Bob, it cuts to just to demonstrate that, you know, this is going live across the world. And here's a dorm in Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Right? Looks like a dorm.
It does look like a dorm, right? Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. How would you describe the occupants?
It's a couple of young ladies, uh-huh. look to be perhaps upperclassmen by their advanced state of development. they've got bunk beds, and they are watching this streaming on a laptop computer. There's the obligatory teddy bear and a Taco Bell beverage cup on the bed.
So yeah, a little product placement.
Yeah, so I like well, that.
We'd totally have to ask Scott about that. upperclassmen because of their bodily development?
Well, I said advanced development. I meant, obviously, they
scholastically?
Yeah.
Scholastically.
They look intelligent.
Has nothing to do with the tight shirts.
No. I didn't even notice that.
Usually, you're very, very noticeable of the skin tight, uniforms.
Yeah. I was distracted by the pennant for Empire State University, if this is Boston, Massachusetts.
But
little things like that.
But nothing about the She-Hulk that's on the wall?
She-Hulk? Yeah, that's a nice touch, too.
Yeah, well, I'd ask Scott about that, too. And then the heavy Hydra uniformed man.
Heavy set, yeah.
Yes. He goes on to say, with him as our prisoner, we are unstoppable. Yes, today marks the beginning of a new world order. And what are we seeing here, Bob? What is he talking about?
Clearly, these are Hydra agents, and he is leading a Hydra charge to conquer the world. So
you're missing something that's really obvious, Bob.
Am I?
Yeah. Captain America is tied to a chair.
Yeah.
Oh, totally left that out.
Well, no. I thought you'd mention that, Rich. Sorry, I dozed off. Yeah, he is tied to a chair. It's a wooden chair, which is never a good idea to tie someone to. And he looks very upset.
Yeah, it's got ropes around his torso. But so we had a Steve Rogers who was not in uniform.
Yeah.
And his uniform was hanging on the wall. And now we have Cap in uniform tied to a chair.
But if you're going to unmask Captain America on TV.
How did he get in the uniform, Bob?
Oh, I'm sure I would have. They probably dressed him in that uniform, Rick. You got to connect the dots on this.
Oh, no, that's my point. They took Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
They took his clothes off and put his Captain America uniform on.
Well, it's Hydra. I'm sure they have somebody responsible for unclothing people and dressing them in their uniforms. It's a professional organization.
Yeah, well, I guess so. they have many hands, right?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Wait, watch that hand.
So we cut to the next page, and it is probably a three-quarters page splash of Cap tied to the chair in his own abode with the heavyset man. In Hydra uniform, holding a shield over his head. And then there's got to be like a couple dozen Hydra agents.
Yeah.
All around him, just putting up their fists in the air. And when I say that, yeah, I'm not kidding. There is 24. I counted them.
Oh, yeah.
Or 23.
I think Rushi there, he really counts as two.
He really does.
So
here's something embarrassing, Bob. I was 2 years ago old when I what?
Oh, okay. I thought you said 2 years ago you were old.
No.
Okay.
I've been old for a while.
I got news for you, still are, man.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I was 2 years ago old when I found out, right? Once I found out, so much as it dawned on me that the Hydra uniforms have a big ass H on them.
That those yellow stripes with the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have these green uniforms.
Yeah.
With the yellow harnesses.
Yeah.
That strap around their waist and go over their shoulders. I always looked at those as like, oh, that's like, just the gear that they wear.
Yeah, it's
right. Because totally fits. I mean, like, it's not like they went out of their way to make it look like, I mean, you know, if you have a gun, hell, Nick Fury has the same shoulder straps as the Hydra agents, right? He has a belt as well, right?
Yeah.
So, the difference is that the belt, the only difference is that under the belt, the straps continue. Like if otherwise, if you just if you take away that bottom part, that's very similar to a SHIELD uniform. I never really put it together that that's an H. And I remember, and here's how I learned, by the way, Bob. I collect little trading cards.
The Fred Hembeck ones, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Fred Hembeck cards,
sketch
right?
Cards. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a Hydra Minion.
Yeah.
A Hembeck card. And I got the card and I had it in this little card holder and it was next to my computer screen. And I just sat it there. And when, and then when I bought the next one, I would replace it with the new one. And so it sat there for months. And then one day I looked at it and I'm like, and totally working. I'm not even like in any kind of comic mindset. I'm working. And I look down and I'm like, oh, it looks like an H. Hydra. And then, so now that's not the worst part.
Oh.
The worst part is I go ahead, I post this in some sort of comic Facebook group.
Uh-huh.
Not ours, of course.
No.
And I post that on there and I say, hey, the H stands for Hydra. Oh my God. The amount of no shit Sherlocks did I get, you know, in one form or another.
Oh, I bet.
And they're like, you're just finding this out now?
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot. Like, some people were just flat out mean.
Oh, I know. People wait all day for somebody to jump on. So,
totally.
Target of opportunity.
Yeah. I was. Yeah. I had a big old bullseye on my back.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I just realized I was even self-defacing. Like I was like, I'm sure everybody else knew this, but I just found out, you know, H stands for Hydra on like this. This is an H. This isn't their uniform. This isn't a freaking H. And oh my God, the attacks I got.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
No, I knew that 2 years ago. But...
Okay. 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we can all grow.
So the Hydra leader here, he's like, and Hydra will finally have the last laugh. Hey, Bob, that was the title of the story you came up with.
Yeah.
Just as our founder, Baron von Strucker, envisioned so many years ago, Hydra forever. And then they all put their fists in the air and start yelling, Hydra forever, Hydra forever. Bob, that's not the slogan.
No, I know.
Someone who needs to tell Caramanga that wasn't was the editor not like it's Hail Hydra.
Well, indeed, but you know, Rushi here or Kieran, whatever his name is, Kieran Rushi doesn't strike me as maybe being in the mainstream
Rushi
of
Kieran.
Hydra. Yeah, Rushi Kieran doesn't really strike me as being sort of in the mold of a Baron von Strucker.
No,
so he may. This may be, you know, sort of a splinter group here,
or maybe just in Earth 3588.
It could be that. As
that's
well.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Maybe. Instead of saying "Hail Hydra," they all yell "Hydra forever."
Right, but they got the two-hand salute going on.
They do. And then he comes up to Cap, and he gets very close in his face, and he says, are you ready, hero? And he says, not quite. Kieran. And he headbutts him. And then the next page, a lot of Hydra agents start to run at Cap, who is, again, tied to this chair. And he's thinking, or he's saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then just as one gets close enough, he puts his two legs out, which are not tied. Rookie mistake. And he kicks them. But then he uses that to propel himself back into that. Remember that wall that I said had exposed brick?
The brick wall, yeah.
Yeah. It's a brick.
House.
She's my tomate. Oh, all right. Here's another little tangent. Ready for this?
Okay.
So I would say I'm in my late 20s at this time. I'm living in Atlanta. I'm married to my first wife. And I have a friend come visit. And then my wife has a friend come visit. And so the four of us decide we're going to go hit this bar. And it's actually a sports bar. But that night, it was, I don't know, like a Saturday night or something like that. And they had a DJ and there were people dancing and all that kind of stuff. I'm in my, Bob, you ready for this? Late 20s. When I say late 20s, I don't mean like 29. I mean like 27.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching these young girls dancing who are probably like 21.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm like 27.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not old by any stretch of the mean.
Yeah.
Right. But uh-huh. I'm watching them feeling old. And I'm watching them going, look at those young things. Right. And, then the lyric comes on, the clothes she wears, her sexy ways, makes an old man wish for younger days. Yeah. Right. And I remember thinking to myself going, I'm not old. What, why do I feel old watching these 21-year-old dance? And then cut to how old I am now.
I know. Yeah. Now you can't watch them until you put your glasses on.
Shut up. So now I go to the gym and there's literally, I'm like, oh my God, I am definitely old enough to be your dad.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just working out going, mind your own.
Don't pull anything.
Well, maybe later. One of these days, I'm going to walk up to him and go, do you have any daddy issues?
That's right. You'll end up on Joey Swole video.
All right. So anyway, he smashes into the brick wall, not brick house, the brick wall. And then by doing that, the wooden chair breaks and then he can get out of the ropes. Right. And then, so he gets up. Now the whole thing's being recorded, Bob. Remember?
Yeah.
The whole thing's being recorded.
Streaming.
And so, cause there's a camera on a tripod. So people are still catching all this. And we cut to Columbus, Ohio. And there is a young man, a bald young man in a wife beater t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
And he's in front of his computer. And then we hear from outside of the door behind him, Herb, are you playing that World of Warfare game again? No, Ma, leave me alone. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
And then he jumps up on that aforementioned ceiling fan,
mm-hmm.
and dodges two Hydra agents coming at each other who bump into each other coming from a different direction, and they clunk heads. And when it makes a sound, Bob, next page, we cut to SHIELD headquarters and we see Nick Fury talking to one of his agents in front of the monitor. Where is this streaming from? Any way we could find out? It's difficult, but not impossible. We could trace the domain registration, find the IP address that's updating. Don't tell, just do. And then, Bob, he gets, while he's on top of that ceiling fan, he kicks two other Hydra agents in the face. Boom, boom. And then behind him, two of the Hydra agents come up behind him. I guess they grabbed Steve Rogers' pans.
His frying pans, yeah.
Right? And they came by, and they come at him, and he dodges them, and he does a kick and knocks them over. It grabs the two pans, and he hits one of them on either side of their head. That makes a noise.
Yeah. Boom. And then, I love that. I love that look, right, on his face.
Oh, yeah. He's got a little sly smile, kind of like a slanted.
Yeah, like he's enjoying this, mm-hmm. this kerfluffle.
And then we cut to Boulder, Colorado, and there are a couple who are looking at the computer, And the young lady goes, "Go, Cap, go." And then we have, what's his name?
Kieran.
Anyway, remember he was holding the shield before? Well, he has a shield over his head. He's coming up behind Cap, and he's about to hit him over the head. But the next page, Cap grabs the shield. He takes it out of his hand, and he knees him in the gut. And he yells, "Hurt!" And then Cap takes his shield, and he tosses it. And the next panel, he hits three Hydra agents in the head. Bob, and it makes a noise. And then he catches it in his left hand just as Hershey gets back up to come at him, and he just nails him in the face. And the entire crowd that we've already seen across the country all cheer. And then we cut back to the bald gamer guy, and he's like, "Yes." And then we hear I'm assuming his mom on the other side of the door, "Herb, get off the computer. Leave me alone." Then we cut to the next page, and we have Nick Fury busting through Cap's door. But what does he come across, Bob?
I mean, they're just Hydra agents littered all over the floor, and Cap is basically rubbing his hands together like, "Job well done."
"Hi, Nick. Glad you could make it to the party. Don't mind the mess. Is this camera still alive?" And he points to the camera that was on the tripod, Bob. "It was when we got here. Why?" "Good. Cap, what are you doing?" "Documenting evidence. This man's name is Rushi Kieran." And he pulls the mask off that Hydra guy. "And for the past few months, he's been running rackets to help fund his own Hydra cell right here in New York City. A week ago, I attempted to bring him to justice, but he got out. I've got a feeling," and he cuts to the next page, "he's not going to be so lucky this time." And then the recording is stopped. "You'll be glad to know that Kieran's back in custody, without bail. Looks like you get the last laugh." Hey, we cut back to that same title there, Bob.
Yeah, it's nice. I like that.
"Nobody wins until Hydra's gone for good. Now that they know my identity, I wouldn't worry about that. Kieran's a businessman. Your identity is an asset. Once he lets that cat out of the bag, it's gone for good, and he knows it. Rest easy. Your secret is safe for a long time." "Rest? Did you see my loft? It'll take me weeks to clean it up." And he puts his hand up in disgust.
Wah, wah.
The end.
All right.
So, Bob, what'd you think of this special issue, this 11-page story of Captain America?
You know, it's a fun story, Rick. You know, I mean, it is a comic giveaway in a kid's meal from Taco Bell, right? But I think it's a lot of fun. And, you know, and I got to say, there's a number of things about this story, the story and the art that I loved. So a little bit of things I haven't noticed elsewhere. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention. But, you know, I love the fact that it's written by Caramanga. But did you notice, like, in a lot of the speech bubbles, you know, the ones that not clear that they are who's saying them, they're color coded to make it easier to distinguish who's saying what. So it was like red for Cap and blue for Nick and green for Rushi. And I thought that's a neat thing that I don't remember seeing elsewhere. So I kind of like that. And I thought a lot of the action shots in this were really well rendered. I mean, some really kind of interesting action in this particular story, even though it's only 11 pages.
Yeah, I mean, it was a, I don't want to say a juvenile story, but it did harken back to something you would see in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah,
that was, you know, just a one issue story that didn't have didn't have character development, didn't have any character further the plot or anything. It was just an adventure. Here it is. Here you go. Yeah, nothing really special to write home about, but it was fun. And I imagine for those out there that had been like me for 3 years waiting for a Steve Rogers to come back into our life, hey, we'd be grasping at straws here.
Right.
Literally.
Well, yeah. I like that. I like that. I also think, you know, I mean, think about it in the context of, you know, it's a licensing deal, right, for Taco Bell. What a great way to introduce young readers who may not be comic fans as comic readers, they know nothing about Cap, right? Introduce them to Captain America with a sort of fun, fast paced, as you said, very reminiscent of the 70s stories. But I mean, obviously designed for young people, but a great introduction of the character.
What's interesting too, Bob, is that this was pre-MCU First Avenger.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cap wasn't cool yet.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, to us, he was. Of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Bob. We're going to get into favorite panel. It's actually, I actually go first this time.
Ooh, okay.
Yep. It's because you went first last time. So I'm going to go.
That's fair.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with page 8. And I'm going to go with panel number 2. So this is Cap hanging from the ceiling fan in his room, kicking the two Hydra agents in the face. Because I think it's a cool, you know, it's a cool action for that to happen. It is a cool angle for that to happen. And quite frankly, it's never worked whenever I've tried it.
Well, maybe you're holding the fan wrong.
No, Bob. I apparently my ceilings are not as strong as Bob's.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I try it, it just pulls right out of the ceiling.
Well, maybe you do need to stop eating chips.
That's just me. How about you, Bob? Do you have a favorite panel?
You know, I do, Rick. You know, I have to go for really that three-quarter splash, I think, on page 10.
Yeah. Tell us why, Bob.
Well, you know, because a lot of folks, you know, not a lot of folks, but, you know, a lot of folks are into original art. I'm not that much into, I don't have a lot of pieces, you know, and some folks want covers or, you know, famous artists like Zek or Buscema or Epting or things like that. But who can say they own a page from a Taco Bell exclusive collector's edition?
Bob.
Yeah, you know.
You know what? Only maximum 11 people can say that, Bob.
That's right. A maximum in the entire world of, 20, 30 million. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, clearly that I have to go with that page.
Yeah. So listeners, you didn't see this, but Bob just put up a page that he actually did get, and he got this page, page 10 of the story. So he has the entire page. Now, Bob, tell us what brought you to buy that? If you were going to buy a page of art, and how many pages of art do you have?
I don't know. I probably have maybe a half dozen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where was this on that? Was this the second one, third one, fourth one?
I think it was the first piece I ever bought.
I tend to think that too, because I remember when you got it and you were like very excited. It was because it had Nick Fury on it too, right?
Right, because it had Nick Fury on it. And I had not read the issue yet. In fact, I had to go out I bought a couple issues of the Taco Bell exclusive edition because I felt like, oh, I need to have it to go with the comic. So when I saw the art, I thought it was Nick Fury Cap, and I thought that was Sharon, because there is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent with sort of long blonde hair and a ponytail running in the door behind Nick. So,
well, it could very well be. Who's to say it's not?
Yeah. So I saw it, and it, you know, honestly, it wasn't. I don't know. It was $125 or something like that.
Yeah, that's a bargain for one of a kind piece of.
Yeah,
actual
that's what
art.
I thought. So
no one else has that but you, Bob.
Exactly. Right. So it was affordable, and I thought, well, that's neat. You know, who else can not many people have Taco Bell art. So I definitely have it. So it's got, you know, it has Nick, it has Cap. It's got Hydra agents laying all over the floor and Cap.
Yeah.
So I thought this is a good deal. I got to have this. This is definitely one.
Does it have, can you say it again? Does it have the word balloons on it?
It does not.
Okay. Yeah. Cause at that point, it was all digitally done afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That is a shame. I have a lot of, you know, Cap art, as you know, but there's a certain point where, you know, the words are no longer on the page. Like I do have some Steve Epting art and there's nothing on it. There's word balloons. There's no dialogue. There's, you know, there's no captions or anything like that.
Yeah.
I miss that. I mean, in fact, you know, same thing, you know, anything from that period on.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm going to go with page 10 because I feel like I got him. And it's
excellent.
A great page.
And yeah. What are you putting on a t-shirt, Bob?
Oh, a t-shirt. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to, page 9, the page right before it.
Don't do it.
I'm doing it, Rick.
Don't
I'm
do
doing it.
It. No.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do those four center panels that are horizontal.
You can't. No. You for t-shirt worthy, you have to pick one, Bob. Which
Why
one
do
is
I have
it?
To pick one? Why can't I have that whole sequence?
You can't. You pick one, Bob.
Well, I'm not going to go with any of those then, Rick. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go with the page before that. And it's Cap bonging the Hydra agent on each side of his head with a saucepan and a frying pan.
I like that. I do like that. That dude would make a good t-shirt.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, totally.
What about yourself?
I am putting on the t-shirt that page 9, but I'm doing the panel 4 where the shield's hitting the three different agents.
Oh, the ping, ping, ding.
Yeah. Right. I think a little strip of that across the chest of three Hydra agents getting their heads hit with the shield. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
That would be cool to put a strip across the chest.
Yeah. That would be cool. All right. And what about your time capsule?
Time capsule. I'm going to go with page 7. Let's back it up.
All right.
And I'm going to go with panel 5. And that is the Columbus, Ohio, where the gamer, Herb, is sitting there in front of the computer and is, I'm assuming, his mom.
Okay.
I'm going to go with his mom. Yeah. Says, Herb, are you playing that World of Warfare game again? Now, first of all, I think this is a joke.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think it's like a, you know, World of Warcraft.
Right.
You know, versus what's the warfare game?
Oh, I don't know. World of.
No, it's
Call
not
of Duty one. Or.
Yeah, something like that. There is a World Warfare video game out there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I just thought it was funny because the mom was getting it wrong.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and it totally reminded me of a joke that comedian Tom Papa talks about. I might have mentioned this before on the podcast, but anyway, it tickles me. Tom Papa is a pretty funny comedian, and he talks about his parents getting older and his mom's online. And this is, he told this joke, of course, many years ago, back when there was MySpace.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, it's so weird. I hear my mom, she's on the internet and she thinks she knows everything. So she talks to me about it. And she's like, are you on my face? Your father's on my face. What's the big deal? Everyone's on my face. No, mom. It's Facebook and MySpace.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got a little tickle when I saw the World of Warfare game.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? That's a time capsule. That's obviously referencing a period of time as far as various video games.
Right. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
How about you? What's going on in your time?
I'm going on page five, Rick, that center panel of the dorm room in Boston, Massachusetts with the two young ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to go with that.
The two young ladies wearing the skin tight outfits, Bob, did you want to point that out?
No, I guess you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you're right. I was focused on that puppy dog poster on the wall. No, I was going to go with the,
Hang in there, Bob.
With the, that's right. Yeah. It's not the valleys in life I dread so much as the dips. I had that one, the Garfield poster. I'm going with the laptop. I'm going with the streaming of the video on the laptop because, I've been teaching university for the last 4 years, and increasingly I've seen students don't really spend that much time on laptops. They stream their videos on their phones or, their tablets. So I think those days of streaming a laptop video is it hasn't gone already. It's certainly on its way out.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Well, we had a good time covering this. I hope we don't go to jail for this, Bob, because apparently
copyright. Yeah.
Yeah. Copyright infringement going through this panel by panel.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, if Marvel Unlimited couldn't do it, why could we? But we did. We did.
We did.
Nobody turned us in.
We may end up, having sentenced to cleaning bathrooms at Taco Bell franchises, but, we do what we have to do.
Yes. Well, make a run for the bathroom. That's what I used to say. It's kind of funny is when I look at this comic, they have on the back here, Marvel's Hottest Heroes now airing on Nicktoons Network. And the two cartoons they're referencing back in 2009 is Wolverine and the X-Men. Do you remember that cartoon?
I do not.
Neither do I. And then the other one is Iron Man Armored Adventures. You remember that one?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't either. But then inside they did have an ad there for the collect all four comics. There was the Avengers, Thor, and Fantastic Quattro.
You know, it's funny. I did see in one of the Facebook comic book groups that I'm a member of. Somebody posted the 2011 X-Men Taco Bell exclusive edition and was talking about how awesome this is and how unusual it is. They're into collecting unusual things. And I was like, ha-ha, a fellow fan of Taco Bell exclusive edition.
It was fortuitous that it happened right before us recording this.
Right, exactly.
You actually appeared like you were like you did research, Bob.
Right, yeah. Of course, that's what it's smoke and mirrors, my friend.
Mm-hmm. All right, so... next episode, come back.
Do you want to ask me when Taco Bell was founded?
No, that's okay. So next episode, California. We're going to come back. Okay, Bob. Hold on. Oh, Bob. Hey, do you happen to know when Taco Bell, who, by the way, is paying us absolutely zero royalties for having this free publication for them in this?
Yeah.
Particular episode. Do you happen to know when they were founded?
Well, I do, Rick. Thanks for asking. They were actually founded in 1962 in Downey, California, but the founder, Glenn Bell, actually opened his first Mexican restaurant several years earlier and tried out a number of different names before settling on Taco Bell. Now, though, there are over 7,200 Taco Bell restaurants in the United States, serving more than 40 million customers every week, Rick. 1,000 restaurants in more than 30 countries around the world. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
That was great, Bob. I'm so glad you added that bit of really poignant and relevant interest to our Captain America listeners. And anything else you want to add, Bob? Do you want to perhaps maybe talk about when, toilet paper was invented? Because I think they go hand in hand.
Well, it's funny. I do want to say in some parts of the world, they do use the hand instead of toilet paper. So nice play on words there.
Oh, boy. Okay, he's Bob Lucius, I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. Now come back next episode for Scott Koblish.
Are you talking to me? I'll be here. Thank you.